So this Shabbat, actually, this month, the beginning of this month, completes for me 10 years as the rabbi of Sinai Temple, and I want to mark that occasion by showing you how much I've learned, not how much I've aged, that you already know, but how much I've learned by beginning the sermon this morning with a learned reference to Charlie Brown. Charlie Brown, as those of you certainly who were reading comics 10, 20, and 30 years ago know, was probably the best known comic strip in American history, although it has some tough competition. And one of the repeating motifs that everybody who read Charlie Brown growing up, as I did, was familiar with, or everybody in a less literate age who watched the Charlie Brown cartoons knows equally well, is that Lucy would hold a football, and Charlie Brown would run to kick it, and every single time, Lucy would pull it out of the way at the last moment, and Charlie Brown would end flat on his back. And part of the humor of it was that she would convince him next time, for one reason or another, that this time she really wasn't going to trick him. And so he would, with a trusting heart, run again at the football, and she would snatch it out of the way, and at least designedly, we would laugh. And the reason that joke works, and it worked for many, many years, is that it's true of all of us. We have to learn the same lesson over and over and over again, and even so, the next time somebody sets up the football and pulls it away, it surprises us. And these past couple weeks have brought a sad but poignant example. I cannot tell you how many times I heard people say, "I can't believe that doctors were planning this plot to bomb people in Britain." They were doctors, after all. As though education was synonymous with goodness. As though all you had to do to find good people was go to the academic faculty of a university. And there, because people were highly trained, they would be good. As though when you send your kids to school, you expect them to come back model human beings. As though we didn't know the wisdom of what William Buckley once said, when he said, "I would rather be ruled by the first 200 names in the Boston phone book than by the faculty of Harvard University." And he was saying that from the point of view of political bias, but you can also take that from the point of view of intrinsic goodness, that somebody's skill has nothing to do with their heart. The best carpenter in the world can be a miserable human being, and so can the most skillful doctor, and so can the most knowledgeable rabbi. And we don't like to think that that's true. But we learn it from our own tradition. When Ramban, Nachmanides, says you can be naval birshut haTorah, you can be a boorish person, an unkind person, and still do it within the confines of the strict rules of the Torah. And we all know that somebody's being observant doesn't guarantee their goodness, and somebody's being smart doesn't mean that they're kind. As Abraham Joshua Heschel said in his later years, "When I was young, I used to admire intelligent people. Now that I'm old, I admire kind people." Nobody, but nobody, should know this better than the Jews. We were, after all, the victims of the greatest crime in history perpetrated by the most advanced civilization on Earth at the time, in terms of education. Germany was the zenith of culture. And it was the nadir, the bottom, of goodness. As George Steiner wrote many years ago, a man can read Goethe or Schiller in the morning, he can play Bach or Schubert, and go to his day's work in Auschwitz later in the day. We know this. The fact that they were doctors means nothing. It means nothing. Having the skill of preserving a life is not the same as having the heart or the soul to value that life. And goodness is a separate category from everything else, from education, from experience. You can have all those things and more and still not be good. Why is that? Well, in part, I suppose it's because of something that I realized, and I suspect many of us did, if we had the opportunity to watch the fireworks on July 4th. I was sitting there watching the fireworks, a wonderful and a beautiful experience with my family. And I immediately began to think of the rocket's red glare. I mean, that's what it is. It's the rocket's red glare. Except that, how does the song continue? The bombs bursting in air. And they illuminated the night, right? That's the theme of the Star-Spangled Banner. Gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. How do they give proof? Because they light up the night and show you the flag. And the difference between fireworks and the bombs is that this is a bomb without any violence. That's what fireworks are. It's all the thrill of war without any of the destruction of war. If you saw pictures or you see pictures on CNN of places being bombed, there's a part of us that has an aesthetic thrill. It's a beautiful sight to see lights light up the night. Except that we're aware that what's going on below those lights is carnage and destruction. And here are fireworks which take all the primitive passions of war and translate them into something beautiful instead of something awful. And you realize that the same thing goes on in the human soul that was going on in the sky. We all have primitive passions. We don't lose those when we are educated. We don't lose those when we are worldly. You can be the most sophisticated, worldly, thoughtful person and just let somebody cut you off in traffic, and all of a sudden you discover that you are a bundle of primitive passions. You get angry far beyond what it merits. And the question for each human being is, what do you do with it? And the dividing line between goodness and cruelty is not what you feel, but what you do. And that is not a function of whether you have a PhD or you never finished high school. Whether you're a doctor or a laborer, it just has to do with whether you're good. So do not succumb to the illusion that if only people would be educated, they would be kind. That illusion died in Auschwitz and should not be resurrected. We don't need that football to be pulled away from us again. We know it's not true. To be educated means to be educated. It doesn't mean to be good. And it doesn't matter what your skill is, whether it's law or medicine or clergy or business or running a home. Goodness is a separate category. And what we need to teach people to do is not only all the skills that are necessary for a decent life, which are indispensable, but the separate and quite different, not skill, but characteristic of being good. Why do we have the mitzvot, according to the Talmud, rak litzaref et habriot? Rak means only. The mitzvot are given to us only for one reason. Litzaref et habriot, to refine our characters. That's why we have them. Do you think that it really changes God if you eat a cheeseburger? Does it change God if you pray with more kavanah or less kavanah? It's supposed to change us. And if it doesn't change us, it's wasted on the world. A faith that doesn't make you better is worse than wasted. It's an illusion, and it's dangerous. Almost 3,000 years ago, with the Assyrian Empire to the north, and Israel in the process of being destroyed, the prophet Micha told us exactly what it was that could save us. And not only did he tell us, but even at that time, even thousands of years ago, he told us that we knew. Higid lecha adam matov, uma Hashem doresh mimcha. You know what it is. God has told you what's good and what God demands of you. To do justice, to love mercy, v'hatznea lechet im Elohecha, to walk humbly with God. That's what God demands. To do justice, to love mercy, and to have a humble spirit before the Creator of everything. Nothing else is a guarantor of goodness in this world. The sad part of this is that we learned this thousands of years ago, and still the world reels with the cruelty of those who haven't taken these words to heart. But the hopeful part is that the prophet still speaks to us, and that we still know the message, and that we are still here to bring that message to a sad and shocked world. So let us remember, the scale of goodness is different from the scale of skill, of education, of success, of money, of looks, of fame, of everything else. And in God's eyes, it is the scale of goodness that matters. We know what it is that God desires of us. To do justice, to love mercy, and to be humble before God. That's the message that we have carried to the world for thousands of years. They have never needed it more than they do today. May God bless us in our efforts to remember it in our own lives, and to teach it to others. Shabbat shalom. Shabbat shalom.